Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19, Text 35. King Prithu's 100 Horse Sacrifices. Kratur viramatam esha.
Kratur viramatam esha.
Devesu durapagraha.
Devesu durapagraha.
Charmanavyati karo yatra.
Charmanavyati karo yatra.
Hakandhai indra nirmitai.
Hakandhai indra nirmitai.
Kratu.
The sacrifice.
Viramatam.
Viramatam.
Let it stop.
Let it stop.
Esha.
Esha.
This. Deveshu.
Deveshu.
Amongst the demigods.
Amongst the demigods.
Duravagraha.
Duravagraha.
Addiction to unwanted things.
Addiction to unwanted things.
Dharavyatikara.
Dharavyatikara.
Violation of religious principles.
Violation of religious principles.
Yatra.
Yatra.
Where?
Where?
Pakandhai.
Pakandhai.
By sinful activities.
By sinful activities.
Indra.
Indra.
By the King of Heaven.
By the King of Heaven.
Nirmitai.
Nirmitai.
Manufactured.
Manufactured.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma continued, stop the performance of these sacrifices, for they have induced Indra to introduce so many irreligious aspects. You should know very well that even amongst the demigods, there are many unwanted desires. Purport. There are many competitors in ordinary business affairs, and the Karmakanda chapters of the Vedas sometimes cause competition and envy amongst karmis. A karmi must be envious because he wishes to enjoy material pleasures to their fullest extent. That is the material disease. Consequently, there is always competition amongst karmis, either in ordinary business affairs or in the performance of yajna. Lord Brahma's purpose was to end the competition between Lord Indra and Maharaj Prithu. Because Maharaj Prithu was a great devotee and incarnation of God, he was requested to stop the sacrifices so that Indra might not further introduce irreligious systems which are always followed by criminal-minded people. Mukam karoti vachanam bhangam nandate girimyakipam tamam vandere si guru tuntam om gyanati maram dasya gyananjana shalokaya So there is a difference in the level of devotion of Indra and Prithu. They're both devotees. They're both devotees, but Indra is in the category of Sakam. He wants to do devotional service at the same time enjoy this material world as the King of Heaven. So that's why he wanted to stop King Prithu from his sacrifice, because he didn't want him to get the same position as he had. He got his position by having 100 sacrifices, 100 horse sacrifices. So nobody else should do that. Nobody else, otherwise he might lose his position. So he was very attached to his position as King of Heaven. And so he's a Sakam devotee. King Prithu, on the other hand, was a pure devotee. So he was not expected. He should not be involved in these Karmakanda rituals. But as a king, it was his duty to do sacrifice. So he was doing it. But there is a limit. We do our duties as devotees in this world, but there is a limit. And he reached the limit. And Brahma was stopping him because he went beyond the limit of his duty. You do your duty, but you don't have to over-endeavor prayasha. It's very detrimental for advancement on the path of devotional service. So similarly, Dhruva Maharaj, he was a king, And he has duty as a king when his brother was killed by the Yakshas. He was killing Yakshas, but he also went over the limit, and Manu had to come and stop him. So Dhruva was overcome by anger, and Prithu, he went to such a limit, he wanted to kill Indra, king of heaven. I mean, you don't kill other devotees if they compete with you. This is over the limit of his duty as a king. He wanted to put Indra in sacrificial fire. So this is too much. This is Vaishnava Bharat. If you want to kill a devotee or even blaspheming a devotee verbally, but this was physically. Of course, he was doing an eye for an eye. Indra took his horse physically, so he was going to physically put Indra in the fire. This is not a good idea. So I'll just read a little bit about Dhruva Maharaj. It's a very similar situation. Here is what Manu's advice to Dhruva. My dear king, consider what I have said to you, which will act as medicinal treatment upon disease. Control your anger, for anger is the foremost enemy on the path of spiritual realization. I wish all good fortune to you. Please follow my instructions. So it was his duty as the ruler to keep law and order. His brother was without fault, but he was killed, so he had to avenge the death of his brother. But he was angry, and the anger increased. Prabhupada says, anger is such that if one increases it, it increases unlimitedly. So in order that Dhruva Maharaj's kingly anger not exceed the limit, Manu was kind enough to check his grandson. So Dhruva, he stopped it, he understood, yes, I should control my anger, I should not be involved in this to the limit. So Dhruva, but his anger was also appropriate too. There is a story Prabhupada tells that Narada Muni had one disciple who was a snake. But the snake had a problem because when he became nonviolent, and then children were throwing stones and were attacking him. So he went to his guru. He said, this nonviolence is giving me trouble. And so Narada said, okay, next time they come, you pretend like you're going to bite. And so he does that, and then you'll be okay. So, interesting comment Prabhupada gives. In the common world, when there is mischief made by others, he should not forget to become angry, at least for the time being, in order to drive away the miscreants. And so, yeah, we have to live in this world, so sometimes we have to be angry, but we should not go over the limit. So that's a very important lesson to learn from these stories in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to judge by the result. Indra being dead would not be a good result of his karma sacrifices. Not a good result. So sometimes devotees, they deviate, they leave Krishna consciousness even, because they go over the limit. Brahma in his prayers before he was creating this world, he said, please protect me from deviation and from pride. So please, Indra, he's has the fault of pride, and he wants to keep his reputation of 100 horse sacrifices without any competitor. He's proud, but the result was he was introducing, and then he was going to any means to keep his reputation. So he's introducing irreligious practices. So this was not good. So we have to be careful as devotees. If we get too angry, or if we overdo our material duties, then we may leave Krishna consciousness. Devotees sometimes leave. I mean, we're attracted. We come here because we're attracted by chanting, by kirtan, by reading Prabhupada's books, by the deities. We're attracted by Srila Prabhupada, by his words, his example, his glance. And because of this, we come to Krishna consciousness. We're attracted by the positive things. But we have to be very careful of going the wrong way. So Indra went the wrong way. Then Prithu, to compensate, he also went a little bit over the limit. But we have to be careful. These are the examples of great devotees, so we should learn lessons from their behavior. So, what to do? What should our attitude be? Srila Prabhupada, in one purport of the prayers of Shukadeva Goswami, he encourages us to pray the Shikshastika number 5. We think, oh, I'm fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up and place me as an atom of dust at your lotus feet. And if you want to make a short summary of that prayer, please accept me. Please accept me. That's a short version. Because now nobody has a long attention span. So, because of internet and everything. So we need these short, please, 3 words only. Please accept me, Lord. Because we have rejected Krishna, but now we want to come back. We want him to accept us back. And so why do we go away? What are the causes of falling down? Like, somehow this is kind of a fall down with Indra. How could he, as King of Heaven, how could he be introducing irreligious principles? And so His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami has analyzed the causes of fall down as 4. 4 causes. One is pride, that we're proud, lack of humility. We're proud of our position. Like in the material world, everyone's proud of their position, but if you carry that over into the spiritual status, then that will be detrimental for your advancement in Krishna consciousness. Don't be proud. Be humble. Then the second cause of fall down is lack of good association or no association. That can cause you to fall down, just like Bharat Maharaj. He was all alone by himself in the forest, and he had no association except a baby deer. And that was not good association for him. And so, yeah, so be careful when you go on the internet. You might, I know it's now they started putting on my newsfeed pictures of dogs and cats and people saving them, and oh my God. So anyway, you have to be careful of your association. Very careful. So pride, lack of good association. Another cause of fall down is lack of knowledge of the path of Krishna consciousness, because we may not know. We know, okay, it starts with faith, shraddha, then sadhu sangha, then bhajana kriya, and then anartha nivritti. That's a very difficult time when doubts come up, when desires come up. This is the cleaning, when everything is being cleaned out. So we may not know about that. It's going to happen to us. And we may think in the beginning, well, I'm a pretty good devotee. And then all of a sudden we see all these desires. Oh, I didn't know. And it's not from this life. It's from millions of lives. So what can you do? You have to keep chanting. But don't go after it. Don't think, oh, this is me. This is a new desire I have. These are old ones that we don't have anymore. So lack of knowledge, ignorance can cause fall down. And lastly, aparad, or Vaishnava, offense to Vaishnavas. So this is the worst one. Lord Chaitanya went to the house of a drunkard, but those who were Vaishnava aparad, radis, he cursed. He cursed. Jagaya Madhai, it is said, he took their sins, and he said, whoever offends devotees will get the sins of Jagaya Madhai. And I would get, yeah, that's the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So be careful. Don't make Vaishnava aparad. We have to forgive. Patience and forgiveness are qualities which are appreciated in all religious traditions. There is one Christian monk, Thomas A. Kempis. He says, try to bear patiently with the defects and infirmities of others, whatever they may be, because you may have many a fault which others must endure. If you cannot make yourself what you wish to be, How can you bend others to your will? We want them to be perfect, yet we do not correct our own faults. We wish them to be severely corrected, but we will not correct ourselves. So, as my godbrother Mahatma would say, we want mercy for ourselves and justice for others. And so that is our view, worldview. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he talks about the Madhyamadikari should neglect the envious people. And he describes the envious daya shunyata, absence of mercy, lacking forgiveness. This is a manifestation of envy. So mercy, tolerance, forgiveness are very important qualities for those interested in developing bhakti, devotional service. So forgiveness, this is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, bhakti sabhav agya dosha kama kore. The nature of a devotee is he excuses any offenses by an ignorant rascal. Dine doyakore e sadhu sabhavoi. The characteristic of all saintly persons is to be kind towards the poor and fallen. Jamadagni in Bhagavatam says the duty of a Brahman is to cultivate the quality of forgiveness, which is illuminating like the sun. Lord is pleased if you are forgiving. So Vaishnava. Now who is a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is a devotee of Vishnu. Demigods are Vaishnavas. King Prithu is also a Vaishnava. We are also Vaishnavas. So a Vaishnava serves under the senior supervision of senior devotees, trying to serve the senior. And one category of senior devotees actually is the demigods in this world. And as the Lord's representatives, they are qualified to judge the good and bad deeds of the conditioned souls. And so in that sense, we can say that if we are a devotee, we have to work in the Lord's courtroom in one sense. And we have two choices, which court we want to work in. We can work in, the first is that of the Mahajan, the demigod Yamraj. So the second court is the court of Lord Nityananda. So in the court of, if we work in Yamraj's court, that means we help Chitragupta count the sins of others. We note down all the mistakes of other people. And so what does that mean? The Narada Purana describes papinam papagananam yakaroti naradama stitvetu yapapisya mityate tvigunam paret. A false finder is naradama, the lowest of mankind. If the sins are true, then the person who is counting them will equally share the sin with the sinner. But if the accusation is false, they get double the sin ascribed to the other person. Don't criticize. Narada Purana. So the phrase papa ganana means one who counts the sins of others. Such a person is a servant of the scribe Chitragupta, Yamaraj's court. Intelligent devotees want to work in the court of Nityananda. Adosha darshi mor prabhu Nityananda. Napajina henu prabhu charanarvindam. The Lord Nityananda is adosha darshi. He never sees the faults of others. Mora Prabhu, my Lord. So he says, I never worship the lotus feet of Nityananda. How is this? So what does it mean to worship Lord Nityananda? As one worships the sun with the fire of a giwig or worships Ganga with water, we worship the all-forgiving Lord Nityananda by ourselves being forgiving. That's how we worship Nityananda. If we are busy finding faults in others, then we are not worshipping Nityananda. Rather, we're working for Chitragupta. To work in the court of Nityananda means we must give up fault-finding and the propensity for bearing grudges. So in his purport, in C.C. Adi, 862, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada describes our eligibility. It is a qualification of a Vaishnava. He's a dosha darshi. He never sees others' faults. So there's a story that there was one prostitute and there was one Brahmin who lived across the street from each other. And the whole day the Brahmana was counting how many people were going to her house. And the prostitute was counting how many people were going for blessings, and she's saying, oh, how wonderful, how saintly he is. She was meditating on the Brahmin. He was meditating on the prostitute. And so at the time of death, he went to hell and she went to heaven because of the meditation. Because she was regretting, what she was doing, and she was meditating, oh, how wonderful, I wish I could be like that Brahmin, how pious he is. And he was thinking, oh, how sinful she is. So don't meditate on the faults of others. We have a choice. We can work in the court of Chitragupta by counting everyone's faults, or we can work in the court of Nityananda by forgiving everyone. And one thing to consider in our decision is whichever court we decide to work for, we will also be judged in that court. So be careful. Be careful what you do. So, devotees leave Krishna consciousness. There's a verse, Chakdasataramam Charanam Bhujam Hare Bhajana Pakvo Tapate Tatayadi, that a devotee may fall down from devotional service. But he may be apakva, means apakva, he's not a pakka devotee. He may be immature devotee. But still, because he did some devotional service, or he's engaged in devotional service, then he will not lose anything. It will go with him at the time of death. And you may be perfect in your varnashram duties, but you will have nothing to gain if you're not a devotee, if it's not for Krishna. And so Srila Prabhupada was talking about in New Vrindavan 1969, he was giving a lecture, and he was saying that now these boys and girls who have taken to Krishna consciousness, previously some of them were meat eaters, they were in a country that there's no purity, and these are abominable conditions, they were fallen. But because, he said, the last life they did something for Krishna, they did some devotional service, so immediately they are taking up. He was one devotee, Bajhari, in London, after working the night shift in a steel factory. He told Prabhupada, I almost had a nervous breakdown from the strain. And Prabhupada said, yes, actually, because in your last life you were all Brahmins, otherwise, how could you come to the platform of Krishna consciousness so quickly? Because actually, my Guru Maharaj has ordered all of you to take birth to help me spread this mission. Now we are all together again. So Prabhupada has also ordered all of you to take birth to help this mission. So something we did in our past life, some good thing. Maybe we ate prasadam. Maybe we served a devotee. Of this life, we get a chance to make progress. Maybe we took a book from a book distributor. I think some of you might have been here when Prabhupada was here and gotten a book, and now you're distributing books. So this is the mercy. So we may fall down by Maya's influence, but we cannot give up devotional service. It's very difficult. Devotees try to forget Krishna. Prabhupada says to take up devotional service is like drinking hot sugar juice. It is very nice, it's very sweet, but it's so hot, it's difficult. And so this is the qualification of a Krishna conscious person, that somehow he's chanting Hare Krishna, he cannot give it up, even he leaves. Another example of devotees coming to Krishna consciousness was Aindra Prabhu. He was in Washington, D.C., and he saw the Harinam party. And once he saw the Harinam party, that was it. He just ran after the Harinam, and he ran so fast he left one shoe behind. And the devotee said, why don't you go and get your shoe? And he said, I'm not going back. That was it. So, yeah. And he never went back after that. He kept on chanting Hare Krishna. Another one, Indradu Maharaj, when he first went on Harinam, after Harinam, he said, I could do this the rest of my life. And he did. He's doing it. So we can see that these devotees, they had some connection And it wasn't lost. It wasn't lost. So we should not criticize if we see devotees having trouble in Krishna consciousness. So there's another example of one devotee in Ireland. And he left Krishna consciousness. His complaint was there's no toilet paper. I think in the old days we didn't have toilet paper. Now I think it's changed. There was no, we just use water. There was no, one complaint was there's no toilet paper, and the second complaint was he had to get up too early in the morning and go to Mangal Aarti. Too early. So he left Krishna consciousness, and then he got a job, but he got the night shift. So one time he was there, 2 o'clock in the morning, and he would say, this is worse. I used to get up at 3:30, and now I'm here the whole night, awake, and I can't sleep the whole night. And he was working at a paper factory, and he didn't really know what kind of paper it was, and he punctured one of the boxes, and all these rolls of toilet paper fell on his head. And he said, okay, Krishna is telling me something. I got all the toilet paper I want, but I'm not happy still. He went back to the temple. So, we have to tolerate the difficulties, tolerate association of devotees, even though it might be difficult. So Narada Muni stresses that point that there is no loss because the seed is in our heart. Once it's there, it will grow. Chaitanya Charitamrita's example is given. Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami, the plant of bhakti is growing and we just have to water it. So we have to be careful, but we still have to be careful of offenses and to devotees, and that can stop the plant for some time. So there is a just like there's a plant growing in our heart, there's a tree of bhakti, and Lord Chaitanya is the gardener, and he's also the trunk of this tree. And when he was watering this tree, he was thinking, wow, now there's so many fruits, and he ate them. He said, but I cannot distribute all of them. And he was distributing, and he didn't consider who is qualified, who is unqualified. So he gave an order to the branches. He said, I'm the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? Therefore, I order every man in this universe to accept this Krishna conscious movement and distribute it everywhere. So that's the order we have from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Somehow or other, to distribute, eat and enjoy the fruits and distribute them to whoever we meet. And so, there is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chakta Siddhushadam Sarep Sitara Chalakshmi Tarmishtaya Vachasa Yaragat Aranyam Mayamigam Dayite Sitaman Vatava Vande Mahapurishate Charanaravindam. So one of the lines says, Mayamigam, Lord Chaitanya is chasing the conditioned souls, trying to give them Krishna consciousness. So sometimes the book distributors might think like that, that they're chasing the conditioned souls. And so Lord Chaitanya's order, he said, distribute this Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and become free from old age and death. So this is our chance. We can eat the fruits and become free from old age and death, and we can distribute them to others. We can share the mercy. So I'll tell one story about book distribution also. I think I told it last year, maybe year before last. So maybe some of you might remember it and some of you didn't hear it yet, so I'll tell it. That there was one book distributor, he gave a Bhagavad Gita to one man. Man took it home and his roommate had a look at it. His roommate was a drunkard. And he looked at it, he opened one, he read one line, for the soul there is no birth or death. And he closed it. Ah, nonsense. He threw it. Rubbish. So anyway, but the time came when he drank a little bit too much and he went unconscious. He had a near-death experience. He went to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj was hearing all his sinful activities. And then Yamaraj said to him, "What are you going to do now?" And he remembered that one line from Bhagavad Gita. He said, "For the soul there is neither birth nor death." Yamaraj said, "Oh, okay. Well, okay. So you can go back now." So then he got another chance, second chance at life. And he said, and he picked up that Bhagavad Gita, read the whole thing, and found the address, and went and joined, became a brahmachari. And, but then after about 6 months, he was a little bit frustrated. "So much austerity is here, my God." He said, "I need a drink." So he went back to the bar, and he was drinking until night. And they closed the bar, and the owner said to him, "We're closing, you have to leave now." And he said, "What are you going to do now?" "Oh, you got a fright." So, "Oh my God, that's what Yamaraj told me. I better go back to the temple." Sometimes Krishna tricks us to get us back tricky ways. So we try to go away from Krishna, but Krishna doesn't allow us to leave. So we should try to stay, try to tolerate, try to forgive, forgive the faults of others. And so Brahma is urging Pitu to forgive Indra, and to be, Indra's in Maya, but that doesn't mean you have to be in Maya. You're an incarnation. You're a devotee. Don't forget who you are. And then he'll remind him further in the next verses. Okay, so we will stop here. If there's any questions or comments, you can ask at this point. Yes.
You mentioned about the five causes of four now.
Four.
Four or is it four?
Yeah. You got four?
I have only four.
Oh yeah, only four. Yeah, that was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj just before he left his body. He gave a class, and in a class he was mentioning these things, Anarjuna Vrichi, how we're all pioneers, but sometimes we may come to a level in our Krishna consciousness where we're at a crossroads, and we can choose to take the comfortable way of going back to our old habits in Maya, or we can take the path of more austerity, more surrender, and try to perfect our lives. And causes why we take the other path, that he analyzed, these are four causes. He said for big devotees, but it's for every devotee. It's for every devotee, not just big devotees. Yeah.
So, regarding the fourth pioneer.
Yes.
I guess all the qualities or everything can be utilized in Krishna's service, right? So how can we...
Right, how can we... Okay, so how can we give constructive criticism? Yes, is that what you're saying?
Just using the nature of fault finding.
Using the nature of fault finding. You can be an editor. That will help. You'll find all the faults in the manuscript. And so if you're expert at finding the fault, then learn how to be an editor. you can use it in Krishna's service. Otherwise, but if you are a guru, Prabhupada said it's the guru's duty to find faults in the disciple also. Because he was always on devotees' cases, especially Saurabh when he was building the Vrindavan temple. He was always finding fault with him. And if you're in a position of authority, then it's your duty to correct people. Or even if you're a friend of a devotee and you find your friend doing the wrong thing, it's your duty to correct your friend. But you have to do it with love, with compassion, as best you can. Love and compassion. And then they will accept it. If you go there in a fighting mood, like Prithu was fighting with Indra, that was not the mood for trying to have him correct his mistakes, that he'll just go worse and worse. And he's ready to fight with them. They're ready to fight, so that's not going to work. You ready? You want to get in a debate? Then that won't work. It won't work. Yeah. Constructive criticism. Like somebody's chanting japa and they leave out a word. Sometimes devotees chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. They leave out a Hare somewhere. Like when there's three Hares, it's easy. Hare, 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 Rama, Hare, Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare. Oh, three. Then you talk, Prabhu, you left out a Hare. Yeah. Well, that's good. Constructive criticism, that will be helpful. Yes?
As you mentioned about the four fundamental remedies, the forgiving. Now, how to genuinely develop this heart of forgiving? Because it is, everyone you already say, giving itself is difficult, what is to call forgiving?
Forgiving, yeah, forgiving. There is a seminar by Mahatma Prabhu, you can look online. There is an art to forgiving. You need to wish well for the person you want to forgive. You have to pray for them that they will get all good things and like that. And if you go and tell other people this person did that, you're not forgiving. If you talk about it, then you're not forgiving. There's many symptoms that you're not forgiving, and that's one symptom. You had your hand up over here?
Yeah. You mentioned about tolerance.
Tolerance.
And then you also mentioned about how there's a limit to material duties.
Yeah.
So I guess, is there a fine line? Because
it's a fine line.
And so would it depend on the situation as to how much to tolerate? Because sometimes you do it out of tolerance.
Yeah.
And then don't be a doormat.
So how much to tolerate?
How do you determine that line where you're not being taken for granted, you're not overdoing your duty?
Okay, so how do you know the limit of tolerance? It's good to consult with other devotees and tell your situation and ask advice. When you're at the limit, don't just try to figure it out yourself. If you can't figure it out, that means you need some advice. So you talk to devotees, you talk to senior devotees, and ask them what they think. They can help guide you that way. Because this is what's happening here. There's a senior, Brahma is the senior of Prithu and Indra, and he's coming to tell, you went over the limit now. Stop. Both of you have gone over the limit. So Brahma came, Manu came to Dhruva to stop him. And so you don't need to wait for somebody to come. You can just ask advice. Yes?
How is it that in this story, Lord Brahma did not do corrections to Indra and did not do constructive?
Yes, very good question. Why didn't he stop Indra from doing nonsense? Why is he telling the good? Because he knew the different personalities. Indra is a Sakam devotee. He has material desires. And he's not going to listen to Brahma. And Prithu, he can reason. Indra, he couldn't reason with Indra. Indra was doing very unreasonable things. But Prithu, he could reason with. He was a better devotee. He's not only a devotee, he's an incarnation. So he shouldn't be. He's the example. He's more of an example than Indra. And he could reason with Prithu also. He could convince him. Whereas Indra is doubtful if even Brahma could convince him. He was really doing such bad things. I mean, Prithu wasn't doing anything bad. In fact, he was right, and Indra was wrong. So why did he come and stop the person who's doing the right thing? That's a really good question. Because Prithu knows better. Prithu is more advanced than Indra. So he can take good advice. And he should not be giving a bad example. Indra is giving a bad example. Prithu should not give a bad example also. So because of Indra, Prithu was dragged into a material situation because of Indra. But Prithu should not have been dragged like that. He should have known better. When he saw Indra doing these nonsense things, then he should have, okay, better I stop this so Indra stops. But Brahma had to come and mediate and sort it out. And I guess in mediation, it's easier if you find somebody who's reasonable in their position. Some people, they want to know the truth when they're fighting with each other. Some people are fighting for truth, but others just want to win. So Indra, at any cost, he just wanted to win. He didn't care what the truth was. He didn't care what the result was. He didn't care what the outcome was. He just wanted to win. And so in mediation, you know, you have to. So Prithu, he's interested in the truth, and that goodness should be there. That goodness instead of ignorance. Religion should be there instead of irreligion. He's supposed to be the example of that. So therefore, Rama could preach to him, and he will listen. He would listen.
Mother, you spoke about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the fruits of love of God to be distributed.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada used the formula of Sankirtan, book description.
Right.
But I was wondering if, you know, if we experience the love of God at ourselves, it's more motivating to be wanting to give it to others.
Right.
And if we are ourselves in a more, if I'm in my conditioned state, I don't experience much of love of God in myself, I wouldn't have so much of an inspiration to get out and give to others.
If I don't experience the love myself, I don't have so much inspiration. That's why your guru kicks you to go out the door. Yes, so that's your mind telling you, oh, I don't have the inspiration. So many excuses in the mind will tell you not why you should not distribute. And so therefore, we have to... There are, again, with our mind, we have two choices. There is the dictation of lust, anger, greed, moha, mada, matsarya, or is the dictation of supersoul, and guru is the external manifestation of supersoul. So that choice we have. And the guru is telling, go out and preach, distribute books. So we listen to that dictation, because we have to serve somebody's dictation. So you can choose. You can take the mind's dictation when it's not following the guru, or you can choose the dictation. Right now we have to do as a matter of duty until we get love of Godhead. But once you get out there, then sometimes it happens that you feel, oh, this is not me talking, this is somebody else. And you feel those feelings even though you may not have it. You feel happy when somebody takes a book, when somebody appreciates Krishna consciousness. You have a feeling of happiness. So that means Krishna is pleased and he's giving you a taste of love of Godhead. Because spiritual love means you're happy when others are happy. The Vaishnava is happy when others are happy. Any other questions? Yes.
Thank you for the wonderful discourse, Madhavi. Madhavi, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, you know, be happy by the performance of sacrifice.
Mm, right.
And by the performance of sacrifice, the demigods become pleased and then they will bestow upon you everything for prosperity and growth. Now, one may create a controversy that this is Krishna's recommendation, and when you're doing it, instead of the demigods becoming pleased, they're becoming envious.
Yes.
So, how do we reconcile what Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita in account of behavior of the demigods?
Yeah, very good question. How can we reconcile Gita says, if you do sacrifice, the demigods are pleased. So why is Indra not pleased? And that's why Narada chastised Vyasadeva. Why have you written these Karmakanda books here? That they're not good for people. So the problem here is that the sacrifice which they're doing is Karmakanda, and that means competition. And that's why Harinam Sankirtan is recommended in this age, because it is all good. It is all good for everyone, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So you have to choose what kind of sacrifice you want to do also. So here he chose to do this sacrifice, and it was not pleasing because it was competition for Indra. It was in the modes of nature. Actually, he also said in Gita that the Vedas are in the modes. So go beyond these modes. So this Vedic sacrifice is in the modes of nature. This particular sacrifice. So that sacrifice you have to be careful. Don't do the horse sacrifice. But Harinam, no problem. Demigods are pleased if you do Harinam's Sankirtan Yajna. That's why we don't do these sacrifices now. That's another good example. Don't do 100 horse sacrifices. Another lesson to be learned. Otherwise, you might be in trouble with Indra. Who knows what he will do? Yeah, Harinam Sankirtan. That is our sacrifice for this age. So that's the topmost sacrifice, is chanting Hare Krishna. It includes all these other sacrifices. And that's why Narada chastised Vyasadeva. Why are you misleading the people with these Vedic sacrifices? This is not good for them. This is because, I mean, you have to worship Krishna when you worship these sacrifices, but then it's all this materialistic result. Then you can become king of heaven, just that. And so this materialistic result is like sugar candy. So the people that will take the candy and throw away the medicine. It's like the candy is covering the medicine in the Vedic sacrifices. So what's happening is, yes, they're just taking the candy and throwing away the medicine, throwing away Krishna, and just want to go to heaven. So this is the problem here. There is a problem in these Vedic sacrifices. Therefore, people in the modes of nature. But Prithu did it because he was acting as a king. He had to do these sacrifices. It was part of the duty of the king. But then he went too far. He got too much into it. And so he went beyond the duty of the king. And, you know, he was competing with Indra to be king of heaven. He went beyond his duty. Okay, you had a question?
Yes, please. I don't know how appropriate it is. Some Sanskrit meaning.
Oh yeah, I don't know Sanskrit much.
Maybe you know some.
Which one?
Maybe you know some. It's by sinful activities in the text.
Sinful activities.
Pakanda.
Pakanda.
I can't pronounce it.
Pakanda. Pakanda means atheist or infidel, or it means actually Pakandi. If you say Pakandi, that I've heard. Yeah, Pakandi means a blasphemer, an atheist, a very bad person.
Can you break it up into like?
No, I can't. I don't know Sanskrit.
Pakanda.
I don't know Sanskrit. Sorry about that. But I do have heard the word used as a very atheistic blasphemer who doesn't believe in God, and offender. So that's the kind of activities that he's performing. These kind of sinful activities. Pakan. Yeah, any other questions? Jai Gaurishri Prabhupada Hare Krishna.